Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. It is Friday, and that means it's training tech talk time. Time at 11:30 Central. And so, welcome, Allison Black, my co-host.
Thank you so much. It is a pleasure to be here.
And of course, would not be doing the show without our studio audience.
No, we live for the audience. Definitely.
Yeah. Yes, they are awesome. And so I, you know, since today I think is actually going to reach 90 degrees for the first time this, is it the first time this summer?
Oh, yeah, we're talking heat indexes of possibly over 100.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. And so I thought we would have kind of a summer camp show today, you know, as if
I love
summer camp. Well, it's going to be a la non-s'more. Well, you can make s'mores there, but I forgot to bring my ingredients. But, yeah, picture a campfire. Did you ever go to summer camp?
I did not. I was one of those wimpy children that could not possibly be alone on my own at a camp situation for that period.
Wow.
I would have been crying in the middle of the night making my parents come get me. Yeah, that was me.
Well, you know, I lived at, well, I lived on a summer camp. I lived on a farm, so it wasn't, what were you going to do in summer camp that you couldn't do on the farm? We had a pond we could swim in. We had, you know, bikes that we rode everywhere. Unfortunately, it was also required us to walk beans, detassel corn, bale hay. So
those are the tasks that one has at camp.
Yes. Crafts, arts and crafts.
Crafts.
You know.
Right. Detasseling. Some tassels.
Go pull those
detassels.
Tassels. Yeah. Exactly. So, no, I was not fortunate to kind of have a real camp Northern Woods experience. But anyway, so I thought, you know, what if, let's do a reverse. What if the adults were at camp and the kids were the counselors? Like if the kids were teaching us like some kind of technology summer camp, what would that experience be like?
Wow. Gosh. Ways to read your children's mind without having them talk to you.
Possibly, yes. It'd be a lot of like, no, they'd be texting us from one side of the room to the other, telling us what to do.
Oh, right. All the new terminology that one can use as shortcuts while texting from one room to the other.
Right.
Or one floor of the house to the other.
Right.
When not to text.
Yeah.
How many texts is too many?
How frequent?
Right, yeah. Exactly.
So, you know, so I thought we would kind of pull out some different ideas around if the kids were teaching adults about how to use technology. I think part of it would be just even the use of tablets, because somebody was telling me, I just had lunch the other day with a colleague of mine that actually used to work for us, and she was saying how her 5-year-old and 7-year-old are just constantly on their iPads.
Oh, really?
And not necessarily a bad thing. I mean, one has a little bit of a learning disability, and so there's a lot of apps out there. So he's actually reading with emotion in his voice and expressions.
Wow.
For a 5-year-old. Yeah.
Wow.
Exactly. So I think there's a lot around the way that kids explore technology that I think adults could learn from, because I think a lot of times adults are afraid they're going to break something, or if they click on the wrong box, it's going to blow something up. You know, so we're used to just really looking at from leveraging technology in a very kind of practical, functional way versus more creativity. And if we could start to maybe look at, you know, technology in a way that allows us to open doors to the creativity side of things, I think that people would get more comfortable with it. And it's really hard today to break something that can't be easily fixed. Unless, I mean, literally, you break it and you throw it to the ground, and that's a whole different story.
Right.
But just clicking on things, opening folders, you know, that type of thing. I think there's a part of that older generation that's just, well, especially I think in our parents' range, they just like, oh, I don't want to click there. I don't know how to click there. The terminology, you know, you have to be, you know, like hashtag. I was at an event where we had to explain to the audience what the hashtag was. So like, oh, you mean the pound sign on the phone? It's like, yeah, okay. Well, the kids today call it hashtag. I don't, whatever. You know,
right.
Yes, it's the pound sign. So, let, you know, we might start off with just the basics of how to hashtag. Why would you hashtag?
Right.
You know, I mean, how would you explain that to someone that doesn't know? I actually had to do that. Two women from my church choir were like, what? What is all this hashtagging? What's all that about? So what is it? So we know what that is, but is there something that
sure.
the kids are using today that they say you don't know what that is? I mean, is there some thing? So I'm trying, you know, I'm trying to Google some things around what is the terminology or what programs kids are using, social media wise, app wise. You know,
I think that. That it's so funny to hear us saying, what are the kids using? Because I used to consider myself in part of that group. So it's a strange feeling. But I think that the things that people that don't fit in that kids group are, and we're still talking about young adults when we're talking about kids. But I think that often, and I'm imagining now my parents as those people who are out of the know, which is a really wide range between those kids and out of the know people, which is hilarious to me because I certainly fit right in between those two, and
mm-hmm.
I don't want to move from that because I don't want to lose my edge. But Twitter, I think that a lot of folks don't know how to use Twitter and why mm-hmm. they might want to use Twitter, But I know that there are a lot of folks, I think, a little younger than us. I don't think, what would you say, as far as our age group, do they use a lot of Twitter, do you think? I know they use a lot of Facebook.
No,
sure.
I would say they don't use it in the way that the tweens and the 20-somethings are using it at all. And the whole kind of political evolution, all of that kind of social justice, or, you know, things going on, making people aware what something's going on in a concentrated area. No, I don't
right.
think people that are in our age category are aware of how to use it or see that it's even, like, that's a waste of my time.
Well,
it's kind of what their opinion is of it.
Right. I think about it like would go to it without even thinking. That's kind of that, is this tool assimilated by a particular age group? And
yeah.
I feel like we're on the same page, though. That's not something like, yes, we know how to use it. We probably have a Twitter account. We probably don't really care if people follow us or not because
right.
it's just not. But the immediacy of going to that. Like, I think about Jimmy Fallon's show, The Tonight Show
mm-hmm.
now. But he
yep.
did this before in his previous show where he really started using Twitter and using the concept of hashtagging. So making a statement and including a hashtag and then words after it that he could go back, or people who work for him obviously, could go back and pull up all the information related to that particular hashtag so that he could find the most funny or the most unusual responses to his nightly query that he had, you know, what was the most embarrassing experience you had as a child, or what was the, you know, the craziest thing your mom ever said,
mm-hmm.
and be able to share those in a way that people watching the show could participate in by submitting their stories, thinking about their stories. It was such a nice way of bringing all those things together. So I think Twitter is definitely one of those things that really
definitely
you can have some workshops,
you know,
on Twitter.
I agree. And, you know, how to search, how to retweet, how to post, how to do a visual, add pictures and things like that. So yeah, I mean, I was just, and your smart devices today make it so easy, or even your tablets make it so easy, as we know, to take a picture. And there's already sharing tools in there to all those different pathways.
Right.
I think the other one that they're much more in tune with than I think our generation is, or even generation, you know, people in their 30s, Tumblr. Tumblr,
right.
And Instagram. Those are very popular.
Yeah, I was going to say Etsy, or not Etsy, Instagram, yeah, absolutely. Or pinning things.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. And, you know, Tumblr, because even my daughter's like, oh, I put it on Tumblr. She'll say something about, oh, I put it here, I put it there. And Tumblr's like kind of top of her list. So it's,
you know,
we call these microblogging sites, if you want to actually have a definition of what these are.
But so I tell you, if you're trying to sound cool, don't use the word. Just use Tumblr.
Yeah, yeah.
That's my feeling.
So Vine is another one of those.
Yep, yep.
Again, I haven't really spent much time with those, but the ones that are really popular are what I call disposable, or they call them self-destructing.
Ah,
slash
yeah,
secret
like Snapchat.
Snapchat. Now, there's some others I have not heard of. Burn Note,
mm-hmm.
Whisper, and Yik Yak.
And
I
do
like
you really
the
trust
Yik-Yak
that
one.
They absolutely burn themselves when they're done? Or somehow
yeah.
Is that out there somewhere?
I think somebody once told me it's still there.
It's still there.
It's still out there
yeah.
somewhere. Yeah.
This
it had
a
footprint
warning
at
to
some
you.
Point in time.
A
yeah. So I'm looking at
Yik Yak
right now. Give a live feed of what everyone's saying around you.
No. No.
No.
So it's going to harness my microphone immediately, or possibly my microphone and my camera?
Possibly.
Yeah,
possibly,
no.
Yes.
No,
so
I think Facebook
that
tried to do that,
to
and
the,
we all went, no.
Yeah, but what's the other, the new live video ones? Video for Twitter. There's a name for it, like an animal's name. I forget. There's two that came out that were, not TwitCam, like a meerkat. Meerkat was one.
Oh.
I'm looking it up here. And basically, they were going head-to-head with this video platform for Twitter. So Meer, how do you spell Meerkat?
M-E-E-R, I think K-A-T.
There it is, Meerkat Twitter. So people are trying to use Meerkat on Twitter, and I think Twitter has introducing its own Meerkat founder on getting the kill call from Twitter. So they're not allowing it because of this other platform. But what it is if you have a Meerkat account, you can be like in a live broadcast. So there's this whole debate now around, well, what is broadcasting? What's the news versus people having these live video apps? So now you can get live video from this Meerkat product and from this other product that is kind of a risk around confidentiality. You know, somebody could have your live streaming, like say you're sitting in a restaurant, you just kind of have your phone sitting on the table.
Right.
And it's just streaming people around you, and you have no idea that you're being streamed in a public format.
Sure.
Using, Periscope's the other one. That's it. Periscope is Twitter's version of Meerkat.
It is fascinating. I think, though, we are now living in a world where we have to assume that we are being monitored in some way or shape or form. Pretty much most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
I think we especially want to stay connected to the rest of the world. And be okay with that or not, it just seems like we see so many more street cams and street things and people with video showing, I've got a different picture of this thing that happened. And it just it's just a change in our society. And I think some people would love to say, well, if you don't have anything to hide, then there shouldn't be any problem. But you know, there is an element of privacy that is just being chucked out the window. Intentionally or not intentionally by some of these things. And I'm not saying we shouldn't have these apps. I just think that we should have the discussions around them and be aware of them.
Well, and that's,
you know?
That's the other thing that would happen at summer camp. So the adults would say,
right.
Are you aware that this is not confidential? And the kids would say, I don't care. They
right.
seem to have a completely different opinion of their concern for privacy.
Well, and you have to think about that too, Nancy. I mean, not to rain down on children, but kids, it takes a long time for their brains to fully form and their ability to make decisions that are going to affect their entire rest of their lives, which I think some of this stuff really can.
Right.
I don't know that they're always the best ones to make that decision. I think that as I'm really talking of kids that are under 18, but certainly I think that what we were talking about before spans beyond that, that I think that we do have to have those conversations. And maybe at this kids camp for adults, that we also have having it go backwards in mm-hmm. regard to, these are some situations where people thought that this wasn't going to create a big problem for them. And it did. It did. And,
yeah.
You know, there are businesses out there. I'm getting this from a book I just recently read by John Ronson about public shaming. But
there are
businesses out there that have to do with helping people, very expensive, helping people get away from the one bad incident that happened in their lives because they, every time somebody, there was a woman who took a picture at a memorial of like a military memorial thing, but she was making a comment about a sign that was there, but because the comment happened, the picture happened to have also a military background, it became this huge attack against her regarding her hatred for America and the military, and she couldn't get a job anywhere, and she wanted to work with children. That's what she had been doing before,
uh-huh.
and really found that could not. So they ended up helping her bury some of this story with, you know, really mundane information about her, just so that it could get, you know, to the 10th page of Google rather than always being the first page. Just
right.
phenomenal things that can happen to you with just a stupid comment that we make in Twitter or in the internet or on
mm-hmm.
Facebook, wherever it is, and
yeah.
it can just really affect your life in a way that you had no idea.
Well, yeah, there was a guy on Shark Tank that was offering a solution to help you strip out social media garbage or things that were detrimental to you, and it's not easy to do. And I guess that one of the other sharks was saying how there's a whole other business that does that, but he says, well, we have a way that's doing this proprietary, blah, blah, blah. But there are people willing to pay money to have these things fixed now, and so you're right. It's making them really think twice about what are you putting out there. Even if you think it's a disposable means of media, it may not necessarily be disposable. But think of the reverse. Think of how you could improve your presence and your notoriety and how you could build up your kind of digital profile through your activity using social media and different types of technology.
Yeah, I just think it's changed, and I think that we, again, don't talk about how the changes are really affecting us day to day. And the thing I learned from reading that book was, holy cow, I need to be even more cautious about what I allow, say. I mean, I just think about things in Facebook that people share that I'm just stunned that they share.
Okay, so here's a statistic. Now, this was a year old, so I don't know if it's still accurate. But so despite rumors, teenagers not using Facebook anymore, 87% of graduates use Facebook. Meanwhile, 55% use Twitter, 66% use Instagram. And in terms of media consumption, YouTube, Netflix, Pandora, and Amazon Prime, Hulu, Spotify, and Beats. They also don't seem to be into those anonymous gossip apps. 97% of graduates don't use Yik Yak, and 95% say they don't use Whisper. Okay, so that's why I've never heard of them. Nobody's really using them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now I don't feel so bad. I'm like, what is this? But I would say, and most kids have no issues with watching TVs and movies right off their phone, which, you know, better check your data plan if they're doing that.
Right.
I mean, that's the other thing. I mean, the phone has gotten to be such, you know, we've got now handcuffs on these phones that we can't live without them. And so I almost kind of want to like weed myself away from dependency, but it's just so handy sometimes. So
you
I think
can't.
What kids need
it,
to do
hard.
Is it's well, just even the parking app I used the other night to get $8 parking in downtown Chicago. That's unheard
yep.
of.
Yeah, no, that's
you know, and
awesome.
Help and helping adults learn how to use these apps because you do have to put in your driver's license plate ID because that's how you get identified. So there's certain things that you need to provide, but then if somebody could show you, oh, you're going to get a map, you're going to get pricing options, you can choose and pick and choose the time frame with which you're going to be in the parking space, and that will impact the price. So
right.
I think there's probably a lot of people that are starting to use the cashless systems like this is, like Uber and some of the other transportation apps. But I think that I think that's kind of like the point of entry because they're thinking, oh, I'm going to save money. So that's why they're using it first. That's kind of their motivation.
Right.
I can get it on demand. That's the other motivation. So what other apps would adults be using that would be either on demand, provide easy access, cashless transactions, all those types of things? And so I think it's not going to go away. So we have to figure out some happy balance between what's convenient for me versus what's a risk to my privacy.
Right.
And what's a risk to somebody, not even if there's all these safety measures in place from a privacy standpoint, from a hacking standpoint, what am I risking from that perspective too?
Absolutely. And knowing
so
who you're getting into business with, I think also
right.
helps. But also, hey, Target, they had a huge breach. There were a lot of huge breaches last year. So I guess I'm arguing against my comment, really. Like, know who you're getting in bed with, but know, too, that even that's no sure fire thing, that they're not going to have a breach. I mean, what about all those things?
Yeah. So as we've been talking, I installed Periscope on my phone. And it is very interesting. Most of it, I think, are these hot girls trying to get attention. So you've got, it tells you how many people are watching her live stream. And then people can text or, like, tweet to her or whatever. You have a TV voice, so future is bright. You should host more TVs. Hello, my name is blah, blah, blah. So I'm trying to find one
what?
That's actually, so there's people globally using it. So I can live, so somebody from, here's somebody from South Africa, downtown
Johannesburg. Somebody listening to you right now?
No, they're not listening to me.
Oh, okay. Oh,
I can hear her, though.
Oh.
I can see her.
Hello, what do you guys want to know about Joburg? About my party.
She's having a party.
Okay.
Okay.
It's
yeah,
like
there's
that,
22 people watching her.
Chat roulette. It's, it's
yeah,
like that.
Exactly.
Google
somebody
that.
From Mexico, some from California.
Hey,
yeah.
Where is that?
So I'm just, and you just exit out, go to the next one. There's hundreds of these all over the place. Let's see. No one you are following is live. No one I'm following. And then you can follow these people. And so I think some people are trying to create their own TV show.
Oh, followers. Got it.
Yeah. Yep. Anyway, so check it. It's just kind of, I am curious to see what would people put on live video and why, just for the fun of it. So I think the early adopters are using it as a way to leverage, try to get some kind of notoriety. I saw a radio show being live from Rome Piazza.
Yeah.
And there's, like, lots of microphones, so I think this must be, like, a Linda Schiali, share her broadcast. Oh, yeah, she's, like, broadcasting with a professional mic and everything.
Oh, okay.
And there's 100 and... Oh, she's speaking Italian. I can't. Oh, so,
of course she is.
Papa da booba da ba. Papa da booba.
Oh, that's just terrible.
Roma. Roma Canary. Anyway, so that would probably be one of the sessions, one of the little arts and crafts sessions of teaching people how to put themselves on Twitter or Periscope or YouTube. Haha, we know all about that now.
Mm-hmm. And YouTube's great.
Yeah. And how do you make it? So there are things you can make private, but again, private, it's still out there. It's still being hosted on a Google server or, Google owns YouTube. So yeah, a Google server or somewhere in La La Land or in Amazon Land. So just be careful of that. But I think teaching people how they can create their own shows, use technology to be creative by making video or editing pictures and posting them into Instagram or Pinterest is another one I like to use, and showing them how you can just open your world to all these different kind of artsy types of things using technology. The other night I was at the Moth Final Grand Slam in the city watching my daughter perform. And the guy that was, she did pretty good. She didn't win, but she did well. She wasn't the lowest score by far, right in the middle. And but they have a guy up there being in charge of the music. Well, he's playing it off of an iPad. He has all the synthesized compositions that he's just sitting there playing from his iPad, broadcasting in the sound system. So, again, there's lots of ways that people can leverage technology. I think just don't be afraid to experiment. You will not break things. I would say look to see what kind of the millennials are using right now, and play around with some of these. And just, you know, there's a woman right now that I have been friends with for a long time. She is on this mission to get as many people on Facebook globally as she can, and she will not. Her strategy is, I'm not going to private message anybody, and nobody can email me directly. You have to put any kind of communication in a kind of a public response to her posts that she's putting on Facebook, because she wants other people to kind of cross-pollinate with one another. So she's proving that, you know, you can open the doors to people from different cultures, different religions. She runs she started a university called Entrepreneurial for the Arts College or University, where it's not a four-year curriculum. It's a curriculum designed that's been accredited to help entrepreneurs that are artists. So it could be a musician, it could be a jewelry maker, a glass blower, a concert pianist, to help them build their business around being paid a fair price for their artistic abilities. And she's built this whole college around it that she's now opening up globally. But because she's doing that, she's doing all this traveling. She's like, well, what I'm going to do, I'm going to use technology to bring people together in a global way through this social media context. So it's been very interesting to kind of see how she gets these people to kind of post things, and how she gets to comment on them, and how she's welcoming people to educate people about, you know, okay, if you're Islam or you're Muslim or you're whatever, you know, help educate all of my followers around that we're all the same when it gets right down to it, but we may all have kind of our unique differences. But she's, you know, so teaching people how to use technology to do good, shall we say.
Right.
Can make a big difference. And so she's actually doing a really nice job of demonstrating how that can be done, and giving people guidance around, these are my rules, this is how I want, you know, to, this is how I'm going to behave, and this is what I'm expecting of you. And sometimes people like it and some they don't, but she's just like, well, that's the way I'm working it. So anyway,
right.
On that note, we'll get wrapped up here. So I'm going to put links to some of these blog posts that I found with the top technologies that kids are using, links to those different types of microblogging sites, and then I'll put a link to Periscope as well, because that it's kind of a fun one just to see what are people doing live.
Right.
And you can get in and out of it really quickly, so it's not like you're going to risk anything major. So anyway, thank you again for joining me, and thanks to our listeners for joining us
thank
on
you.
Training Tech Talk.
Have a great weekend, everyone.